And thank you to our worship team for leading us so beautifully this morning. Really, really appreciate that. Really appreciate you guys. So we're in the middle of our series. We're looking at some foundational teaching. I'm going to try and pause a little bit so that those that are having a translation get a chance to have that done for them. Last week, Joanna brought a word to us. She taught us about baptism and what baptism is and why we get baptized. As a sign of repentance and obedience to Christ. It's a public confession of our faith in Jesus. And Jesus taught that we go under the water, we're fully immersed under the water. And Jesus himself was baptized to show us the way and to fulfill all righteousness, is what the Bible says. Now, I watched the church service from Gate Central online last week, and Gareth was preaching on the same subject, and he showed a wonderful video. Some of you may have seen the video, and some of you won't, but I thought it would be good for us to see this video this morning. So hopefully the team at the back there are able to show this video of a baptism.
We have accepted Christ as his Savior and as his Lord, and he will demonstrate his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by willingly being baptized this morning. He's been waiting on this day a long time. And so, Jordan, upon the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Go, Jordan!
I think that's great. Now, I don't know whether he just got fed up of waiting, but the other way of looking at that is he was eager to be baptized. He was eager to do what God was asking him to do. And that's what really struck me when I watched that video. How eager he was. How eager, maybe to get it over with, but actually no, I think there was an eagerness in him to be baptized. And I think it's really important when we look at Scripture to really recognize the link between accepting Jesus Christ, giving our lives to Jesus Christ, and then being baptized. If you go through, particularly the book of Acts, time after time after time, people got saved and then they were baptized. Time after time. So I want us to look at Acts chapter 16. The background to this verse is this is Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas had been leading people to Christ. And they'd been healing the sick. And they end up in prison. So I'm going to read. Let me open it in my Bible. They end up in prison for the acts that they've been doing in the name of Jesus. And it says here, about midnight, so a little bit before that verse, in verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. First thing that strikes me about that passage, they were praying in the middle of a prison. They were worshipping in the middle of turmoil and torrent and pain, potentially. Gareth already talked to us about how the videos of Christians worshipping in God in the midst of challenge, in the midst of imprisonment or threat, choosing to still worship God. And then there is a violent earthquake, and the prison is shaken, and all the prison doors fly open. And Paul and the jailer, can you imagine? The jailer's terrified. The jailer is going to get into big trouble when all these prisoners escape. And Paul says, "Don't harm yourself. We are here." And the jailer got some lights and he rushed in. And he asked them the question, "What must I do to be saved?" And they replied, and it's up there, verse 31, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. That interests me. This jailer, I mean, jails in those days were not comfortable places. I think if you're, they were not comfortable places. To be a jailer, you probably had to be a pretty tough guy. This man, this jailer, washes their wounds. That speaks to me of a change of heart. He didn't need to wash the wounds of Paul and Silas. He didn't need to do that. He could have just run away from the whole situation. But he washed their wounds. That was an outward action that for me demonstrates a change of heart towards his prisoners. And then it says, immediately he and all his household were baptized. This is the middle of the night. Nobody said, let's wait till daylight. They gave their life to Christ and they were baptized. And actually, after the baptism, the jailer went and got them all breakfast. If you read the next chapter, nobody said, well, we're hungry right now. Let's wait. Let's have something to eat. Let's wait till the sun gets up. Let's wait until. No, they got saved and they got baptized. They were very linked, very much linked. And this is only one example in the Bible of people being saved and immediately followed by baptism. So why is baptism so important? What is it? What does it symbolize? What does it signify? What is its spiritual relevance for the people in Paul and Silas's day, but for the people, for believers and followers of Jesus in our day? When I was thinking about this, in my mind, I began to liken it a little bit to a wedding day. We've got friends who are in our house a lot at the moment, so we're talking about weddings a lot. And this couple of people, they fell in love. And they decided that they want to make a commitment to each other. And on the back of that decision, they are having a wedding day. A day when they make a public announcement of their promise and commitment to each other. But if you're married, you will know that actually it's not really about the wedding day. It's about the marriage and working out of the marriage together afterwards. And so that's one illustration that I wanted to bring. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. You give your life to him. Your baptism is your public announcement that you have given your life to Christ. You no longer belong to you. You love Jesus Christ more than anything else or anyone else. You make your public announcement, your public profession. But then you go on walking with Christ. The baptism day in and of itself is a very significant day. I remember my day. And sometimes I think, God, I'd love to go through the baptism waters again. But of course, we only need to do it once. Because what Christ did for us, he did once and for all. So, why baptism? If you think about it, you've got a pool of water. We get immersed into that pool. We go under the water. And we come up again. It's a very symbolic act of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus only put in place two sacraments, two things that he asked us to do specifically. One was that we take communion, that we remember his death, and we've done that this morning. The other was that we be baptized. So, are we on the next? Yeah, if we can go to the next verse, that'd be helpful. In Luke 12, Jesus said, I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. He's talking about his coming death, his coming crucifixion, that day when he surrendered himself to earthly authorities who took him and found him, even though he was not guilty, nailed him to a cross. He died on that cross and he was buried. And what he did in that burial was to defeat the work of Satan once and for all. Defeat the work of the enemy once and for all. Make the way for our sins to be forgiven. And not just our sins, but everything. Everything that holds us tied or in bondage or under the control of anything or anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that going into the water and coming out of the water, Jesus... When Jesus rose from the dead, he resurrected back to life. It's a powerful, powerful moment. I can't begin to find the words to describe all that happened in that moment. And when we go through the waters of baptism, we are symbolizing that we too have died to ourselves. You know, we're not just called to believe in Jesus. We are called to follow him. When Jesus called his disciples, he said, come and follow me. So when we follow him through the baptism waters, we also are required that we die to ourselves. We are no longer living for our own ends and our own purposes. We are living for his ends and his purposes here on the earth. And if you're like me, you feel completely inadequate for the task. completely inadequate for the task. But the beauty is that as we are buried and we are also resurrected, when we die to our old life, our selfish lives, the way that we used to live, and we come up, and when we come back up out of the water, it symbolizes our resurrection into new life in Christ Jesus. Completely separate, completely new. The scripture says that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Joanna talked a little bit about that last week as well. Completely new. We are born again. All that sin, all that mire, it is dealt with. And what does the resurrection life look like? What does the resurrection life for us look like? it looks like continual communion with Jesus. It looks like continually walking and talking with him. It looks like so many things, and I'm going to come on to some more of those in a minute. Okay, I will come on to those in just a moment. Another illustration that I find really helpful, and again, it's in the notes that you'll be studying in groups, is just the story of the Israelites when they leave Israel, when they leave Egypt. Many of you will know the story. The Israelites are in captivity in Egypt. They are slaves to the Egyptians. They're in bondage. And God tells Moses, God sends a whole load of plagues, and the last one of trying to get Pharaoh to get them released. And every time Pharaoh changes his mind and says, no, I'm not releasing them. Not releasing them. The final plague God sent was that the firstborn of every animal, human being, child in the region would die. The way the Israelites escaped, we know the story. They took the blood of a perfect lamb. They painted it over the doorway. And when the angel of death came through, he passed over the houses where the blood of the lamb had been painted. That was the moment that the Israelites were saved from death. We are saved from our old lives the moment we accept Jesus Christ and what his blood has done for us. But the Israelites then had to get up and leave their slavery. They had to get up and leave Egypt. And you all know the story. They got as far as the Red Sea, and they were trapped. They had the Israelite army coming behind and the Red Sea in front. They were absolutely trapped. Everything that had held them in captivity, everything that had held them in that place was still pursuing them. After Moses held up his rod and the sea parted, the Israelites walked across and the sea came back down and completely covered, destroyed, got rid of that Egyptian army that had been pursuing them. And that is another symbol of baptism. The Israelites were saved from death by the blood, by their acceptance of Jesus. It was as they walked through the waters that they were released from the slavery and the bondage. And not only that, but God dealt with, separated them completely, left this vast expanse of water between them and their old life. As you come up through the waters of baptism, you are in a new place. Your old life is back there, the other side of those waters, and it can't get you anymore. The Egyptians were finished. The Israelites were in a new place. They were released from their slavery into freedom. As we walk with God, God sets us free from all those things from the past. We walk through that baptism, we are absolutely a new person in Christ Jesus. Joanna said something of this last week. Sometimes the enemy will come along and try and whisper little lies to you that actually it's that sin's not dealt with, or that's too big a thing, or there's a reason why you're not free. Jesus Christ did it once and for all when he died on the cross. There's nothing that has not been dealt with by the blood of Jesus. And our baptism is a complete celebration of what he has already done. It's a celebration of what Christ has done for us. You may think, well, what? No, I'm going to skip that bit. See, in the scripture, Paul, in his letters, urges believers to not return to wearing a yoke of slavery. We were once slaves to sin. We were once slaves to the mindset of the world, even. It's so easy to live according to the culture that we find ourselves in. That may be a Hong Kong culture, it may be a Chinese culture, it may be an English culture, but actually God is more concerned about kingdom culture and living according to his values and his ways. And some of the things that we have to put to death in baptism, in our surrendering to Christ, are the things that are just the ways of the world that we see, the things that this world celebrates. This world celebrates having a lot of money. It celebrates having a lot of prowess or position, or those things aren't wrong. But Christ celebrates a heart that is totally surrendered to serving him and his purposes. When we can let go of those other ways of doing things and we live according to his plans and his purposes. He who Christ sets free is free indeed. I remember coming up out of the baptism pool when I was baptized many, many years ago, feeling as light as could be, because I knew I was completely forgiven and completely set free. And there have been times in my life where I've said, Lord God, I've lost that sense of freedom. I don't feel as free. I don't feel as free. But your word tells me that everything has been dealt with. And there are times when we have to align our feelings up with what the word says. We go back to the word. This is what the Bible says. Jesus, you dealt with everything. You dealt with everything. And so I give you my everything afresh. So you might be here and you might never have been baptized. And actually God is saying, be eager to be baptized. Be eager to be, because it's a sign of your obedience. As a people, are we eager to be obedient to God? Are we eager to be obedient? Or do we drag our feet? It might not be over baptism, but it might be over something else. Are we eager followers of Jesus? Or do we drag our feet when he asks us to respond? Are we eager followers? Do you know that the old is completely gone in your life? That Christ has set you free once and for all? If we can turn, I think it's just the final slide. I want to go again to look briefly at Jesus' baptism. Mark 1, verse 10. This is what happened when Jesus was baptized. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Three things happened when Jesus came up out of the water after his baptism. The heavens were opened. The heavens were opened. When we're born again into the kingdom of God, the heavens are open to us. We have intimate relationship with God. He speaks with us. He equips us. Everything of heaven is available to us. Everything, the Bible says, everything that Jesus did here on earth, we can do even greater things. So there is a whole realm of resurrection living that God wants us to walk into that include telling others about Jesus, healing the sick, casting out demons, walking in the fullness and freedom and provision of heaven. The second thing that happened was he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. In that moment, Jesus received an anointing from heaven that took him and carried him into the purpose that God had for him. God has an anointing in the Spirit for each and every one of us, that we would be equipped. None of us is adequate. None of us can do it of ourselves. We needed Jesus to deal with our sin. We need the Holy Spirit to live the life that he has for us, the call that he's placed on us. And thirdly, Jesus heard a voice, "You are my Son. You are my Son." We need to know that we are children of God. When those Israelites came out of Egypt, they had to learn that they were no longer slaves. They had to learn what it was to be children of the living God. We are no longer slaves. We are children of the living God. God loves each and every one of us. God has plan and purpose for each and every one of us. God says over you this morning, "You are my Son. I am well pleased with you." He said to Jesus, "I am well pleased with you," even before Jesus had done anything of any note in his ministry. It wasn't about the works that he did. It was about the love that God had for him and the person that God had made him to be. So that's three things. Are you eager to follow Christ? Are you eagerly following him, willingly submitting to him and being obedient to him when he asks? Are you hungry for the more in God that comes following, giving your life to Christ and submitting to him? For some of us, we got baptized years and years ago. Are you still eager for God? Are you still hungry to discover more of what it means to live in freedom that he won? More of what it means to live under heaven that is open to us, to hear from God, to be equipped by God, are you eager to know more of the Holy Spirit's power and life flowing through you so that we can truly fulfill on earth everything that God asks us to do? And that's where I'm going to close. And I'm going to hand back to Gareth to close us, if that's okay.
Amen. Thank you, Sue.